Show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host and good friend here, Mr. Trey Hill, just to break down a couple weeks of action here, Trey, maybe about a week and a half since we last spoke. Well, you know, the Bulls have been pretty much up. I mean, you know, playing pretty well, performing what we would expect or even a little bit better. So, you know, you can't be too down on this team, but obviously we are recording on the heels of a pretty bummer of a loss to the Sacramento Kings. So I think I want to start there, Trey. You know, how did you feel? I mean, let me just start this with this. How do you feel about De'Aaron Fox?
He's been the most clutch player in the league this year, which is funny because this is the year they introduced the clutch award. And I think he's far and away the favorite for it. And he showed again last night why that is. I thought that the Bulls competed well against the Kings, who are second or third in the West at this point. They've been playing excellent. They have the best offense, I think, in history right now at this point. And that, you know, that's going to be the best offense every year for the next couple of years is going to be the best ever. But right now that's the Kings. And the Bulls were able to hold them to only 117 points, which I know sounds crazy, but those are the times we live in. So I thought the Bulls were competitive. It sucks to lose, especially on a last second shot.
Yeah.
But I wasn't disappointed in the Bulls' performance or effort or anything of the sort.
Yeah. And it may hurt. Like, it definitely was a stab in the heart when he hit that shot. But, like, man, hats off to De'Aaron Fox. That guy having an incredible season. The entire Kings team is having an incredible season. I know, Trey, you and I were both, like, really high on that team coming into this season. So good to see them doing well. I've got a bunch of bets on their overs for win totals that have already hit. And I got a couple of plus odds bets also on their making the playoffs, which is definitely going to hit at this point. So
I thought the Bulls did a good job defending it. Io got a good contest on it, and I don't remember who it was, but someone was coming over to double him because they knew the clock was so low he was going to have to shoot.
Yeah.
But he got it up a little bit quicker than they were expecting with the 0.7 being left. But I thought the Bulls played pretty good defense.
It was defended on that last possession. No, it hurt, but like at the same time, like you just kind of have to tip your hat and say, you know what, you got that one. And even the Bulls shouldn't even really have been in that one, honestly, Trey, because I thought that 3-point foul was kind of a little BS, honestly, if I'm being honest with you guys. I mean, it technically a foul, yeah. You have to let the jump shooter fall or land, have space to land. But that was the second time that game where they had called that on the Kings, and so I just felt like that was a little bit BS. So, and a little piece of me does say the Kings definitely deserve to win that one. Actually, a large piece of me says that, and I'm not really upset about the loss. I am happy about the way they stayed competitive. Zach LaVine struggled in the first half also. If he doesn't go, I think it was 4 of 14 for his first 14 shots, then, I think this is probably a different story. I think the Bulls probably win this one by, 6, 7, 8 points, I mean, but LaVine, I mean, we can talk a little bit about him, but I think for me in this game specifically, Trey, it was DeMar DeRozan. It was him looking healthy again, dealt with that hamstring injury for a long time, and now it's just looking like he's finally back to or was it a groin injury? Either way, something in the lower nether regions there. Either way, he's looking more like himself at this point and out there really balling the way that we saw him do the last, season or two.
He was, and I think what really worries me is we mentioned before the pod, and this is just hitting me now, so this is an on-air epiphany. We mentioned before the pod how other than this game, Zach has looked really, really good these last few games.
Yeah.
And is it a coincidence that the game that DeMar comes back and looks like himself, it's the game that Zach struggles to get himself going?
That's interesting. That is interesting. And I know there's
just something I thought of I wanted to put out there. But so while you chew on that, in terms of DeMar, you're right. I thought he looked a bit more just natural last night. Just which is good. It's one of those things. It's a nagging injury. And honestly, I didn't expect him to look that good. So I don't know if it was just the fact that he was back in California that made him happy or what. But I'll be curious to see, because they did have a lot of time off. They played Sunday, then they didn't play until Wednesday. They didn't play again until Saturday. Then they were off until Wednesday. Now they're going to play Friday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. We'll see how DeMar looks when he's not getting multiple days off in between games. But hopefully this was enough for him to heal up all the way. Having said all that, if DeMar is healed all the way, is he going to be what holds Zach back from being the player he was these last couple games?
It's a fair point. And, you know, I honestly had not even thought about that. You know, it's hard for me to be like, okay, if one succeeds, the other can't succeed. Because we have seen, you know, all three with DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, and Zach succeed in certain games this season and last season as well. And, you know, when that's happening, I mean, the Bulls look very, very good. And so, like, it's hard for me to say that like, completely, you know, one hand has to, you know, take over the other. Like, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Like, it's not a yin or yang type thing. But I do think it's an interesting question. I do think one of the narratives, especially in Chicago media, is, you know, who's the dude, right? Who's that guy? Who's the guy taking the last second shot for the Bulls? Who's the guy that you put the ball in their hands? And, you know, for a large portion of the season, Zach's looked terrible in those situations. But recently he's been that guy, you know, if you need a bucket in a game, he's been the guy we've been going to. He's been playing really well, like you mentioned there. So here's my question back to you. I mean, do you see, is this the offseason that the Bulls move on from this? Is this the offseason where the Bulls deal DeMar or even Zach maybe and, you know, break it apart?
I don't see them moving Zach just because he is such a three-level scorer. He is able to do things that DeMar just can't in terms of the three-point shooting and the athleticism plus DeMar's age. I would be surprised if they don't at least shop DeMar around, see what the market is for him. But again, and coming out, he's gotten a third surgery. If by, you know, we get lucky and it actually looks like he might actually get to play next year at some point, they might think, oh, we want to run it back one more time. And they could probably trade DeMar for almost just as much, if not more, at the trade deadline next year. And so for me, I kind of expect that Lonzo missing the entire year and probably a lot of next year. I can see them trying to run it back one more time and then at the next trade deadline, then looking to move DeMar to a contender.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and also, you know me, I was hoping at this trade deadline they would, like, at least shop him a little bit. I didn't hear any real like, serious rumblings about that happening. I was surprised a little bit to hear the Zach thing.
I mean, I heard on one podcast, I think it was David Aldridge, said DeMar was cool on the idea of going back to the Lakers when there was that quick notion that they might trade DeMar for those two first-round picks, and then it quietly just was it didn't get talked about anymore. Yeah. David Aldridge, I think it was the only guy I heard that. But I think the Bulls might have approached DeMar with the idea of going back to the Lakers, and I don't think he was too keen on the idea.
Well, he's a seasoned veteran. At this point, you know, nothing's going to surprise him. It's not going to be like, you know, he's not going to get butthurt if the Bulls trade him. So I do think it's something, like you said, it's something they should explore this offseason, see what they can get back, see what that looks like. But I think one good reason to look at trading DeMar has been the recent play of Patrick Williams. You know, we spoke a little bit about that before we hopped on here, Trey. But he's looked really, really good, man. He's been really turning the corner on offense for me. You know, that's been really the thing holding him back. But it's, you know, we mentioned it already, so there's not much more we can add to previous pods where we talked about him. But his decision-making has been so much faster. And I think that's really the main key to him being successful now. And I know that's kind of your point, so I'm kind of stealing it from you, so I apologize. But it is true. I was watching him a little bit more closely.
It's not just my point.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's around, right? It's something you can look and watch the games and see. But this is something I was keyed into against this Kings team. I think it was every time he got the basketball, especially when the Kings went to that zone, which we can talk about also. But he was not afraid to shoot the basketball. And I was really happy to see that. 3 of 5 from three-pointers, 5 of 12 from the field. Taking 12 shots alone, is I'm happy with that. So, but yeah, talk to me about Patrick Williams, man.
Oh, he's the Bulls' best three-point shooter this year by percentages. And you mentioned he's just making quicker decisions. He's more decisive on the offensive end. That comes with playing time. He is a passive player on a team that was thrown together and was trying to gel. And he didn't get the playing time. So for me, this is just the natural progression. He gets his feet wet. He gets used to the NBA speed. He finds his place in the offense, which is what he has been doing. And now that he's comfortable in his role in the offense, he can find his ways to capitalize from that, which is what he's doing. It's why he's so quick to shoot, and it's why he's able to attack those closeouts. I think it's just the natural progression. It's why I was so adamant on not giving up on him. And the only thing I can add is I was listening to the Zach Lowe podcast, and I think it was in the Mekhi's Duncan part. Yeah. One of them mentioned that Patrick Williams was a top three isolation defender this year. With whatever numbers they have access to that I don't, Patrick Williams is a guy that you can throw on someone, and he's going to play pretty good. He's going to play pretty close to shutdown defense when it comes to that. And that's what we need him for in a conference with Giannis and Tatum and players like that.
I remember there was one inbounds play I was watching him specifically on defense, and that it was like the third quarter or fourth quarter. I can't remember which one it was, but he switched on to three different guys over the course of before the ball had even inbounded. And like, you know, he was like reading everything. He'd stopped the first couple passes just by himself. And then he ended up guarding the guy with the basketball, I believe, when it got inbounded, which, you know, it just impressed me. Athleticism is definitely there. So yeah, I am glad at this point now that the Bulls didn't give up on him. I know I've been up and down on him. I mean, you know, not going to lie. I have probably in the past on this show advocated for looking at trading him at least. But at this point in time, yeah, I think he's definitely a key to the future. I'm looking at his games played here, Trey. Through the first two seasons, 89 games. I mean, this is basically season two still for him, right? I mean, so, again, like you said, it's a natural progression here. It's something that we wanted to see from him, something we hadn't seen up until, I would say, maybe about a month or a month and a half ago. But, man, something's definitely clicked for him. And I'm happy to see it, man. He's been really, really good. And that's been a big key for the Bulls winning these games recently. So not just
Patrick. He's played in every game this year, hasn't he?
68 games. So, yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he played in 68, started 59. But it's nice to see him. And he's averaged 28 minutes a game. So it's not like he's only getting out there a couple minutes at a time. So this year he's shown that those injuries might have been more flukes than trend. And hopefully he can continue to stay on the court, because as he's shown, if he stays on the court, he's going to continue to develop.
Let's go back to one more point here from that Kings game, though, I want to go back to, because I was watching that one closely knowing we were going to talk today. The third quarter, obviously the Bulls' worst quarter. I believe they lost like 30, like 15 points, 20 points, something like that in that quarter. And a big part of that was the Kings going to a zone again. I don't know. They lost 37-22, so 15 points they were down that quarter. But again, it's a zone. Giving Bulls troubles. I mean, and it wasn't really the shooting. I mean, the Bulls, if I felt like as I was watching it, the Bulls were not afraid to take those three-point shots. And they had Vooch in good spots also, I thought, in the zone. So I don't really know why, you know, we struggle so much against that zone. I feel like I've said this before, we have the shooters. They just don't shoot in volume like other teams do. I think Vooch going 0 from 7 in that game wasn't helpful, obviously. Patrick Beverley 1 for 6, so... Zach 2 for 7. So we didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but they weren't afraid to shoot the shots.
No, I think that's just where the lack of playmaking really shows up, especially from our main ball handlers. Zach and DeMar, we harp on it time and time again. They're capable playmakers, but they're not above average, you know, to elite type playmakers. And when you have a zone, you need to have your guys be able to break that down, because you might be able to get the shots like we had last time, but if they're not knocking them down, Sacramento is not a very tall team. Zach just needs to get to the rim, especially if it's a zone and he has that kind of space to work with on the floor. Just get to the rim.
Yeah, I agree. And could have been some better playmaking there, but overall, I felt like they did a decent job, but you know, bummer loss again. Well, we're talking about Patrick Williams. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I know you wanted to keep this pod a little short, but I'm gonna bring it out a little bit more. So, yeah. The problems on offense. Do you think the offense isn't complicated enough because Billy Donovan just doesn't have the chops to have that diverse of an offense? Or do you think it's because he doesn't trust the Bulls playmakers to be able to do the things that other teams do in the league?
No, I think it's the latter. I mean, I think, you know, if anything, the Bulls really tipped you off to how they felt about the roster when they went out and signed Patrick Beverley, you know, after the buyout market. I mean, when you had a guy like that, I mean, it's very clear to me. It was very clear that that was the key ingredient that was missing here. They were expecting Lonzo to be back, so it's a real bummer for them. I think, you know, the continuity thing, it's easy. I've been ragging on them on Twitter for that. It's easy to rag on them for that. We want to have more out of the front office and out of the Bulls, obviously. So it's been a disappointing season. But at the same time, like, if Lonzo is healthy this season, then the Bulls are probably adding, you know, a good number of wins. I mean, a lot of these games are really close, Trey. So, you know, I believe they thought that Lonzo was going to be healthy. So I think it's a real bummer there.
I agree with you. I think if Lonzo was back, or if they had better playmaking, Billy would have been running more complicated stuff that would put the players in better positions to have better shots against the zones, or to just get easy buckets when they can't buy, when you can't get a shot. A good coaching staff can draw up a play to get you a layup.
Yeah.
You might only get one, but sometimes your offense just needs that one layup to get that stop, to get back on defense, and to just get back in the game.
Yeah.
And it's so often I don't see the Bulls get those gimme easy buckets.
Well, the Bulls, that's one thing I did notice also in that Kings game, was that, you know, Billy, I heard him yelling on the sideline for them to really try to beat the defense down the court when they had switched to that zone, because that's really one of the best ways to beat a zone defense is, you know, guys are running back to spots, aren't running back to guys. So if you got in transition, cause a little chaos in that way and start attacking the rim, it's going to be really difficult for that team to recover and stop you. So he was trying to get transition buckets. The Bulls have done a better job of that recently. But, yeah, I mean, when Lonzo was in, obviously, the first half of last season, the Bulls were just the top team in transition offense. And there's no question about it. That was the eye test for me. The numbers confirmed it. You can go back to the pods and record it that season if you need to get those numbers. But, yeah, I think that's really – also a key ingredient missing is that the Bulls aren't getting out in transition as much as they should. And that's another reason that the zones are really killers for them.
Yeah, that tracks. You mentioned expected wins somewhere a minute ago. And it's funny, I'm looking at Cleaning the Glass right now, and the Bulls currently were at 31-37, but the expected wins is 35.9, so basically 36. That's a 5-game difference, which
yeah.
That would be huge in the standings. I don't have the standings pulled up, but that would have the Bulls definitely in the play-in at this point. So I know that's just the way the ball bounces. Last year, we were super blessed with how DeMar performed in the clutch, and this is just kind of regressing back to the mean, or even reverting even further the other direction. But it's really disappointing to see everything just kind of go wrong for this team.
If the Bulls had 36 wins, that would put them solidly in eighth ahead of the Hawks and the Raptors and the Wizards. So, and obviously you have to think who are you taking those wins away from as well. But just kind of general ballpark, it puts you about eighth spot. So yeah, you'd be a favorite in the play-in, and that's about where we expected them to be. So yeah, I think that tracks. I think for me, but yeah, the Bulls have been one of the most unlucky teams. I mean, I can't remember where it was I saw on Twitter, but I was talking to you about this before we jumped on. You know, in terms of like net points scored plus minus and where the Bulls sit in that, you know, it's just they're supposed to have more wins than they are. They've just been entirely unlucky this season, which really sucks. So, you know, they're about what, you know, honestly, they're about what we expected. It's been a disappointing season because of the bad luck. But in terms of like where they are in their performance, it's about what we expected, because they're about a 7th or 8th seed with the bad luck. They're now sitting in 11th. They're half a game out of the play-in, which, you know, really bad spot to be in, especially we don't own our own pick next season, unless it ends up being a top 4 pick, but just a bummer. But you know what? There's still enough time here that the Bulls can sneak into that play-in. And who knows? I mean, I'm not expecting much. How about you? If they get in the play-in here, let's say as the 9th seed or something like that, right? Like, we're going to be optimistic.
I mean, I would love to see them in the play-in, because I feel like we see the Bulls get up for games, and it seems like they're able to compete against anyone in the league on any given night. So I could definitely see them winning. But for me, I want those lottery odds, man. I want to watch Kobe White out there, Patrick Williams, getting that chemistry going some more, because they were on a pod, I think, with Casey Johnson. They grew up knowing each other. So having that kind of chemistry, and it seems like you were mentioning it, it shows on the court. Yeah. And it shows in the numbers. When those two are on the court together, the lineups are usually pretty positive. So for me, I'm more about developing the guys and making sure Zach, DeMar, Vooch, they're just 100% going into next year.
I just did one sim of the lottery on Tankathon because I can't help myself when I go there. The Bulls got number 4, so there you go. You're welcome, Chicago Bulls. You should hire me.
I've been screaming lottery odds like since the beginning of, you know, the middle of the year at least, because these odds have changed so much that the Bulls have a realistic chance at getting a top 4 pick. Yeah, we might not get Victor or, you know, scoot one of these top 2 picks, but even if it's 4, we get to keep it.
Yeah. They're currently sitting in, I'm just looking at that right now. They're currently sitting in the eighth pick, basically eighth worst record, in the NBA. So they currently have a 26.3% chance to land a top 4 pick and a 6% chance at the number 1 overall. But, at this point, Trey, they're only a half a game behind. No, I'm sorry. Indiana's a half game ahead of us. So that's good. They're only a half game behind. No, I'm looking at this wrong. Sorry. I'm looking at this wrong. They are a half game behind the Pacers, so they need to lose more to catch the Pacers and the Portland Trail Blazers. And the Magic are kind of out of reach at this point. They're 3.5 games behind us, so that's a little bit of a bummer there. But yeah, we could get. I mean, theoretically, it wouldn't take much for us to get the sixth worst odds or standings here. And that would give us 34.8% chance of a top 4 pick and 8.3% chance at a first round pick. So I would take it.
Right. 34%. That's 1 in 3 chance at getting to keep the Bulls pick by being, what do you say, 2 games worse in the standings?
Yeah. It's only 1 game. Only 1 game.
1 game. Right. Yeah. That would be such a huge win for the Bulls franchise and just being able to build this team out, because you're not going to have money in free agency to bring in a talent that you're going to be able to get at the number 4 pick. And so really that's where my mind is. So play-in would be a bitter pill to swallow, but if they get there, I do think the Bulls can compete with anyone.
I tend to agree with you. Speaking of the Trailblazers though, I know you mentioned it a little bit there in the opening, but Portland is currently sitting a half game behind us. Sixth worst record in the NBA right now. There's no chance we're getting that pick. They would have to, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams would have to leap them for us to get that pick. So it's just not happening. Portland Trailblazers are, that pick's going to go to them. It's going to be a lottery pick, most likely. So big bummer there. What happens with that pick? Do you recall what happens? Is it just a convert to next year?
It's just lottery protected for the next like 3 years, I think. Okay. So if Portland doesn't make the playoffs, we don't get the pick. And I think eventually it converts to like 2 seconds or a second or something.
Yeah. That's good. That's interesting to know. I did read somewhere someone had said that the Trailblazers have incentive though to remove those protections because there's like they've locked themselves from being able to trade picks for the next like 9 years or something like that.
They have to have the picks on hand in case that's the one that has to convey for the Bulls. Whereas if we knew we were getting their pick this year, they could trade out picks in the future.
Any chance that they remove those protections? Any chance they tap the Bulls and say, hey, let's just give you this pick right here? I mean, Trailblazers, I mean, what's their incentive? I don't know. What are they? Do they want to keep that pick or would they rather have the ability to trade picks to make the team a better team?
The only way I see it happening is if they are at the back end of the lottery, and so it doesn't convey that they have like the 14th pick, and they offer to remove the protection so the Bulls get the 14th pick, and maybe send the Bulls, you know, maybe send the Bulls something else for doing it, so that way they can, or maybe not even have to send the Bulls anything, because let's face it, if they don't give up the protections, I don't see Portland making the playoffs, so the pick might not convey at all. Yeah. So maybe it's in Chicago's best interest to take the 14th pick this year removing that protection and just letting Portland have the chance to trade future first to build around Dame. Because if you're not going to trade Dame away, you really need to be able to build something around him. But to me, I think they should. I think they should pivot the other way and trade Dame. But as a Bulls fan, that I hope they go the opposite direction.
Right. Yeah, I think the Bulls have a lot of incentive to take that 14th pick. As you mentioned, like the salary situation, you know, we don't really have the salary to go add a big time free agent. It's just not going to happen. The big offseason move this season is going to be, you know, does Vooch come back or doesn't he? And what happens with that? That's really it for the Bulls. I mean, they don't have any other space to do anything with it. So you're adding a rookie guy. I go ahead, a rookie scale contract that could potentially be a contributor. And let's not forget, I mean, the Bulls have Dalen Terry. And, you know, I know we didn't mention him with the Kings recap, but I felt like he gave some really positive minutes in that game. And he's been playing here and there, and I like what I see out of him every time he steps on the floor. But what are your thoughts so far on Dalen Terry this season?
I think he should play every game at this point. There's no reason that he shouldn't be out there learning the speed of the game, just learning how the NBA game works and getting those reps. He played 6 minutes. I'm looking at it. He played 6 minutes. And I want more Dalen Terry because we drafted him for a reason. And I think he has the talent to be out there once the game slows down for him. We've seen it with Coby White this year. We've seen it with Patrick Williams. That's how the development goes. And you're not going to develop if you don't get the reps. So I know Dalen Terry plays a bunch down in the G League, and that's great, but it's not the NBA, and I would like to see him playing at the NBA level.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So you mentioned Coby White and Patrick Williams, and yeah, I you know, for me, I've seen it with my eyes here. Those guys just have such a great rapport on the floor together. I really like that, you know, they've moved Patrick basically to the bench. I mean, sometimes he does start when Caruso's out or something like that, but for the most part, he's been playing off the bench, and even this last game, he played off the bench with his buddy Coby White, and they were finding each other for those wide open threes. And it was really, really fun to see. And they really do seem to have a really good chemistry between them. I didn't actually know that they, even before you mentioned it here at the pod right now, didn't know that they knew each other from childhood. So that's really interesting. But you had some data there about just kind of the top lineups with Coby White and Patrick Williams so far.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to see what lineups the Bulls were using that were successful that had Patrick Williams in it, because we want Patrick Williams to succeed. We want to see what positions he can be put in to succeed. So the top two lineups both have Coby White as the point guard, that's the thing that stuck out most to me. And the top lineup is Coby, Io, DeMar, Patrick Williams, and Drummond. The next one is Coby, Zach, DeMar, Patrick Williams, and Vucevic. DeMar and Coby White, they're the two that are the same. But the one with Drummond is plus 14. The one with Vucevic is plus 11. So they're both very, very good lineups. And I think that's part of that is that comfortable feeling Patrick Williams has on the court, just knowing how to play with Coby. And DeMar does such a good job of taking the young players under his wing. It makes sense that Patrick Williams feels comfortable, like he knows what's going on the offensive end when DeMar's out there. So I think finding players that Patrick Williams plays off of well, that's going to be the key to finding his success. But it seems like it's pretty easy to find those, given, you know, Coby White seems to be on, DeMar seems to be on. Zach LaVine is in the top four, or three of the top four. So he's up there too. It's just, I really like the fact that Coby White is the point guard in both of those.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about point guards, obviously. We haven't really talked about it a whole lot, but Lonzo Ball, we did get that news. We do have to kind of touch on that here, unfortunately. So sorry, Bulls fans, opening up that fresh wound once again. But just got news he's going to have a third surgery, and it's going to sideline him for most, if not all, of next season. So that would be, what, three and a half years at the end of this if he comes back at the end of next season? That he hasn't played NBA basketball, or is it just 3 years? Probably 3.5 sounds wrong, but it's been a long time, right?
I mean, the Bulls should get a bargain on his next contract.
Yeah.
I'm glad he got paid before all of this happened, even if it is the Bulls that have to be the ones bearing the brunt of this, because he is such a good player. He's put so much of his life into the game of basketball. I'm glad he got rewarded for that. But seeing him miss, like you said, 3 years of games with this, and who knows what kind of player he's going to come back as, if he can come back at all.
Yeah.
So for me, I think he's got the basketball, the feel for the game. He's got the knowledge that he could play if his body's 75%, you know, 60% athleticism. But does he want to do that? Does he have the drive to get back in shape and to stay in shape? Because clearly it's not easy for him to work out like these other guys with as many issues as he has with his knee. So for me, it's just – It sucks.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's nothing really good to take from this. I think it was on Twitter that I said that I don't think, you know, when the news came out that they're shutting him down for the season, I thought at that point that was the last. You know, we would never see Lonzo Ball on the Bulls again. I think I still stick with that. I don't think he's gonna suit up for the Bulls again. You know, if they end up getting him on a very cheap contract, maybe he plays like a backup role or something like that. Still a very young guy. Well, not very young, but he's still a youngish guy. So hopefully he still has some good years left in him once he does get back to the court. But I really think it's going to be rough for the Bulls to justify that. I don't think he suits up for the Bulls again. I really, in my heart of hearts, don't think that's going to happen. I hope he plays basketball again. That's kind of where we're at, right? I hope he plays NBA basketball again, because this has now been two surgeries for the same issue and no results. You know, what's to say? I know they say they're optimistic a third surgery is going to fix this, so it sounds like maybe they figured out what exactly is wrong, but my confidence level there is not high, Trey. So I'm just hoping for the kid that he gets to play basketball again at the NBA level.
Well, he'll have a player option the year after at $21 million. I cannot imagine that he turns that $21 million down. So so he'll miss all of next year, and the year after that, when he supposedly will be back, he'll be on the Bulls, because he's not turning down that player option, and I can't see a team trading for his contract unless, you know, maybe the Charlotte Hornets come knocking. But for me, I, like you said, I want to see him play an NBA game again. I would love for it to be on the Bulls, but to expect anything more than 10 minutes off the bench from him ever again is just, I think, putting too high of expectations.
Yeah. I mean, crazier things have happened, so you never know. I don't want to be too much of a downer. Maybe he makes a full recovery. Maybe he does plays well, plays another 5-6 years, and that'd be great. I would be so happy for that. But right now, I just don't feel like that's going to happen. So, but I think that's it, Trey. I think that's really all we had on our agenda today. Really all the big bullet points here from the last week and a half. Something else you want to mention?
Alex Caruso getting a lot of defensive love for the fact that the Bulls, I think, are a top 10 defensive team again this year. And it's not like people want to give Vooch any credit for being, you know, capable. So it's all Caruso, I've seen, has gotten a lot of love. I think it's very well deserved for a guy who just brings it every night he's on the court on that end. He is just after it. And I can't say enough good things about Caruso. So let's end it on a nicer note and celebrate Caruso.
Well, now you're going to know, because now you're going to make me bring up for the third time on this podcast. I think that the way he plays is just going to make him be a like 50 to 60 game per season player. He just plays BALLS out every single second of every game. And he ends up on the sidelines a lot because he just gets injured so often. But I'm going to go ahead and just back you on that and say it's absolutely a pleasure to watch him play basketball. I don't want to knock the guy too much, but it does concern me, because every time I see him like a bowling ball on the floor, I'm like, dude, I don't think he's going to have a long career. I mean, that's honestly how I feel.
he definitely gets after it. But if he can get in that 25-minute a game range, that's the perfect range for him.
Yeah. So hopefully he does have a long career. But anyways, that's going to do it for us, guys. That is your Bulls pod. We will be back with you hopefully next weekend to go ahead and break down some more Bulls action for you. Hopefully we get, you know, some wins under our belts here. I know we've got some back-to-back coming up tomorrow and the day after. So some exciting stuff there. But until next time, I am Keith. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can people find you, man?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And do follow the shows at EthosBulls, at EthosBulls on Twitter. Let us know you're out there listening. Leave us a review. We would really appreciate it. But until next time, guys, go Bulls.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.